Good morning, everyone. You know, one of my coaches back in high school used to tell me, he said, sometimes you have to be like a duck. You know, you look very calm on the surface, but underneath it all, you're paddling really hard, right? There's one of those days. Just so that you know, I was on my way up. Right before I came over here, it's about 9:45. I thought, you know what? I think I want to change one of those songs in there. And I go in to check the songs, and actually, it wasn't the songs that was the problem. The whole sermon was missing. And I thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? So I had to go back and, like that duck, of course, I was in my office by myself, so I was, you know, totally unafraid to be hysterical. But I think we got it worked out. But, you know, it wouldn't be Sunday if something didn't happen. So, but again, welcome everybody. And I want to finish up talking about the presence of God. We've been doing a series discussing the presence of God. And oftentimes, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, oftentimes the difficulty with the presence of God and believing that God is there is that part of our conditioning can sometimes be that we only think God is there in the good times, right? You know, when it's really good, when things are positive, you know, God is there, and we thank God for that bonus check, right? We thank him for that, you know, inheritance we got. We thank him for the things when it's like, oh, wow, I didn't see this coming. This is great. When things work out the way we want it to, but it can be a little more troubling, a little tricky when it comes to, well, God's presence is also there when it's difficult, when it's challenging. And one of those challenges specifically I want to talk about, because not only is it important that we look at this from the Word of God, but also it's important because of the times that we live in and then the culture and society that we have. It's important that we are willing to see God even when we have to do something that we don't necessarily look forward to doing. Sometimes we have to have, and we talked about this a little bit more this morning in Bible study about tough talk and having those challenging conversations, you know, and it's like, well, is God there too? Is God with me all the time? We pray and we want God to order our steps. We want him to be with us through everything. But is he there even when we don't necessarily want to do something that we know we're supposed to do? And so the title of the sermon today very simply is Tough Talk. Because a lot of times we forget that being ambassadors of Christ, being his children, being those who are supposed to go out and spread his word, to encourage one another, lift one another up, to challenge each other, we sometimes forget that we can't avoid it. It's not something we can avoid. And so I want to look at tough talk as we continue dealing with the presence of God. And if you think, well, what does tough talk look like? This is what it looks like in my house. Obviously, that's not a photograph of us. That's just an artist's depiction of tough talk in the Craig household, right? But what does tough talk look like? And I don't just mean the expressions and, you know, who's standing and who does what and what are the mannerisms, but those conversations that we have to have that can be challenging. Like, this is always tough talk when the check comes. You know, my wife's like, who's going to pay for this? You know, that's one of those things where it's like, when the bill is due, you got to face it. You know, you can't just get up and walk out. I was joking with my wife. I said, have you ever, what they used to call ditch and die, you ever just ate, realized you didn't have the money and got up and left? She said, no, I've never done that. I just kind of looked at her. I was like, are you sure? She's like, yes, I've never done that, you know. But when the check comes, you got to pay for it, right? You can't just walk out. You can't just leave. You got to deal with it. One time, one of my roommates, back when I was in college, we went to IHOP. This is in Nashville. We went to IHOP, and we sat down. And before the food even started coming out, I realized I had left my wallet at home. So I had to have a really tough conversation with the manager. I said, look, before you bring out all this food, we don't have any money. We're not normal college students. I actually have money, but I left my wallet. I can go get it. He said, no, don't worry about it. But what are some other tough conversations? You know, you look and you think, well, They're outside. I see this all the time when I drive down the road at the abortion clinic where people are outside and they're picketing and they're holding up and they're praying for the babies and all this kind of stuff. And you think, well, that's obviously a conversation that's tough, but is this the best way to go about having this conversation? Some people say yes. Others say no. What about end-of-life care? Whenever you have a loved one who is facing an illness, we pray about this all the time. We pray for one another because we know that this is a reality of life. But it's a tough conversation to have with someone about those life choices. What about when you see the homeless? You know, everybody, well, I feel compassionate and I care about them. But what do we need to talk about? What do we need to discuss when it surrounds those who are needy? What kind of conversation are we having? Because to think about it all the time isn't enough. At some point, you got to say something, right? John chapter 12, starting in verse 20, says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." We see this passage here, and he's talking about if you want eternal life, he used the word hate. He said you have to hate. You have to consider your current life nothing. Nothing of value, nothing worthwhile, to the point that you hate it, that you despise, that you consider, this is not even something that I'm worried about, I'm not concerned with. And in that, you'll be like me. He says there that you will say, "My servant also will be right there where I am." And when we think of Jesus, we know Jesus was not afraid of having those tough conversations. We know that Jesus was not someone who was risk averse, where he was always calculating, well, let me make sure. Because he understood that, you know what? I came here, as he says, I came here for this very hour. I came here to do this. It isn't my time, so I'm not worried about it until it is time. And oftentimes we think, well, if we're going to be like Jesus, what kind of conversations do we need to have? What kind of talk do we need to have? What needs to come out of our mouth? What do we need to say to people? And let's face it, as we've been talking about the presence of God, clearly we understand that God's always there. So if God's right there with us, why would we be afraid to speak up and have those difficult conversations? Not just with strangers, not just in the sense of what they call proselytizing or evangelism and sharing the gospel and preaching the word and trying to get souls saved, but also from the standpoint of talking to one another. We talked about this again in our Sunday school this morning about the conversations we need to have. The reason why I go back to this scripture, though, is because what we see is that when you understand Jesus and what he did for you, and you understand what your life is worth compared to eternal life and being with God forever, suddenly saying something that needs to be said that may be difficult to say doesn't quite matter as much because you're willing to make that sacrifice. But we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to make that sacrifice? Here he talks about dying, actually giving up your life. And he says that unless you're willing to give up your life, You can't go out and multiply. You unless you're willing to sacrifice this stuff here, and it isn't just material things. Sometimes it's your reputation. Like, who in here ever thinks when they wake up in the morning, oh, you know, I'm going to sacrifice my good name and my reputation for the sake of Christ? But in fact, that's what we should be doing. Do we wake up with that on our hearts and on our minds? It is our sacrificial response to God's presence that gives him glory, not just him being there. See, God's going to be there anyway. God's going to show up anyway. Every breath you take is a breath that was given to you by God. He's always present. But it's when we're willing to sacrifice, as he says there, no, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. We give glory when we're willing to imitate Christ in his sacrifice. But even as we get back to some of those difficult conversations, I saw this meme that I found interesting. It was kind of convicting, actually. It says, being taught to avoid talking about politics and religion has led to a lack of understanding of politics and religion. What we should have been taught was how to have a civil conversation about a difficult topic. Oftentimes, it's the emotion and all the feelings and the angst and all the past hurts and things that build up that keep us from wanting to have those tough conversations. And those are real feelings. That's not to be just brushed off and kind of poo-pooed and say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. No, it's real. Who really wants to have difficult conversations? Like, who wakes up looking for difficult conversations? Nobody. But they're there. And we have a responsibility. We have a duty, if we're truly going to follow Jesus, to be able to have those conversations about difficult topics. Namely, where is your relationship with God stand? Continuing on, John chapter 4. Go back a couple chapters there. Most of us are familiar with this story about this woman who Jesus met at the well. And starting verse 27, I'll begin there. It says, Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman came back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of this woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Now, there's an interesting little background to this. Some of us are aware of this, but if you jump right to the end, kind of like we did, it's almost like, wow, Jesus had this impact on this woman. And what we forget is that Jesus wasn't just talking to someone and telling her the truth, But it was everything that went into that confrontation that was so amazing. One being, Jesus wasn't even supposed to be on that side of town. Being on the wrong side of town can make for a difficult conversation. He wasn't supposed to be talking to a woman. Talking to somebody else's wife can make for a difficult conversation, right? I don't encourage anybody to do that, you know? And then you look at, after that, he goes on, and we didn't read this part, but he tells the woman, as she said, everything I ever did. He knows about her life. He knows about her sin. He knows about what she was doing and why she was even there at the well and the man that she was going back to see. But Jesus confronts her. He talks to her. He engages in this conversation with her, not only because of the impact it would have on her life, that she would be free from her life of sin and she would be able to believe and go on knowing who the Messiah was, but that she would go and, as it says, tell everybody in her community. She would go share with them. The thing that I always walk away from this thinking is, what if Jesus had decided, you know what? I'm just not willing to go on that side of town. Or when I get there, I'm just not even going to ask the woman for something to drink. I'll just wait because I'm not supposed to be talking to this woman. Or what if he says, I'll be polite and I'll get something to drink from this well, but I'm not going to talk to her about her life. What kind of impact would have been missed? What kind of change could have been missed if Jesus had just said, I'm not willing because that's a difficult conversation to have? You notice that Jesus always refers back to the fact that his Father's with him, just like that same Father's with us. Do we imitate Jesus in this willingness to have these difficult conversations? Because, let's face it, it is a sacrifice. It can be a struggle. What we consider important in this life is a reflection of what we're willing to give it up for. This is universally true. We've talked about that, how if you're willing to give up your money or your vacation or your car, or you're willing to sell things, what are you willing to give those things up for? Your kids' education, maybe your education, maybe something important. Maybe it's hospital bills. Maybe it's so that you can get some type of treatment. You got to pay out of pocket to have it done. What are we willing to give up? It's always connected to something that we consider important. So what are we willing to give up in our own personal lives so that someone else can have the same conversation that we find with Jesus right here? When we avoid difficult conversations, we trade short-term discomfort for long-term dysfunction. Oftentimes, we're looking at it in the moment, and we're not willing to sacrifice for that moment for something that's far greater in benefit down the road, including eternal life. This is a difficult conversation. You know, this is a Border Patrol agent down there on the other side of the wall in Mexico. You kind of had to been under a rock for the past week. If you haven't seen this picture, it's all over the place. Because in the news, we're talking about, all they're talking about is immigration and people fleeing these countries and crossing the border, in many cases illegally. And it's become so political and so polarizing, and everybody's dug in, and nobody's seeing Christ in this. Nobody's seeing not just the fact that God does things, and we've lived long enough to know that there's not peace everywhere, right? So we know that there's always going to be conflict and struggle, but do we see the opportunity like Jesus did? Do we see that there's an opportunity to show who God is in some of these very difficult conversations? I had a friend, I'm going to read this, friend of mine named Keenan. We're working on a project together. This guy, I've known him since we were kids. He posted this because back in Cincinnati, he goes out and he gives out water to homeless people. You think, well, there's water fountains everywhere. They can go to the library, they can go play. No, he does the same thing that we do. He puts it in the freezer or the refrigerator, gets it really nice and cold, and then he takes out that water and he goes around and he gives out water to homeless people. The difference is he does it in an effort to try to engage them in a conversation. And the reason why is because he said he wants to understand how this person even got here. What is it that they're dealing with? I'm going to read this because he posted this the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact. He says, do you know Christ's longest recorded conversation with a single person in the Bible was with a stranger? Yes, it was all based around, guess what? Water. Remember the woman at the well? Real quick, one day after being tired, Christ went to the well to get water. When he arrived, he noticed a widow there. The next thing he did is unbelievable and powerful at the same time. Do you know what he did? He broke the law. Yep, in order to extend love, grace, and truth, Christ broke the law. In that day and time, there were three laws that you just couldn't do or things that you shouldn't even consider. One, he wasn't allowed to speak to a Samaritan, being that he was himself Jewish. He wasn't, number two, he wasn't supposed to be talking to a woman without her husband present. And number three, he surely wasn't supposed to be talking to the woman who had five previous husbands. Yikes. Christ, being omniscient, knew this woman's story. He not only knew her past story, more importantly, he knew her potential story. And he knew her past story had no power over her potential story if she could only get to one simple thing. That one thing being water. All she needed to do was get from her past to her potential was water. But the water Christ was referring to while having a conversation with her was a different kind of water. This morning I shared our great opportunity we had to transition a homeless person back home to his family. It was to go down at 3 p.m. He knew the time. I took a nap, and when I woke up at 2, I had missed five calls from a different number than his daughter. I called the number, and it was the husband of his daughter. The husband very kindly let me know he was ready to go get my guy. He went to the spot, but he wasn't there. I walked around and asked where he was, and no one knew where he was. Some of us, being distracted at times, have missed out on God's plan for our life, and the only way to be restored to that plan is to line up and get back to where you know you're supposed to be. It is important that, like the woman at the well, you are where you need to be when you need to be there to receive your living water. The good news is sometimes God's love, and it will track you down. What Keenan was talking about is engaging and talking to this guy just by giving him some water and letting him share his story. The man tells him his story. And he finds out that his daughter has been looking for him. He finds out that his daughter's husband is ready to come pick him up. And so he makes the phone call. He makes the connection. See, it wasn't just about giving him a bottle of Nestle water. It was about having a conversation that was difficult. Difficult because, let's face it, people who are living under bridges and living out on the side of the road, sometimes their breath might stink. Sometimes they're not well kept. Sometimes they've been drinking. Sometimes they talk too loud, or you can't hear them, or maybe they're not enunciating properly. Sometimes they suffer from mental illness. It can be difficult to stay focused. Just like that conversation is difficult, it's difficult to talk to people who have warped views about God. Coming up in July, starting in July, we're going to have a series that I'm going to call Will the Real Jesus Stand Up? And we're going to talk about who Jesus really was, not what popular society and our culture says. Because when we think about it, it's easy to say, yeah, I want to be like Jesus, but what if you don't really understand who Jesus was? So many people that we want to be close to God So many people that we want to share God's plans with, they don't want to come here. They don't want to talk to you about it because they think Jesus is something that somebody else told them about. They don't know the real Jesus. We have to tell them who the real Jesus is. We have to show them through our lives who the real Jesus is. Unacceptable behavior becomes acceptable when allowed to persist. It is unacceptable for us to not engage. It is unacceptable for us to not talk about God's plans to people. It is unacceptable for us to not have compassion for those who need help. It's unacceptable for us to say, well, you know what? I don't want to break the law, quote unquote. I don't want to look bad, and I don't want to go outside of what is considered normal and acceptable behavior when that's what stands between you and God's plan. What is God's plan for you? Who does God intend for you to talk to, but you're not willing? Who does God want you to reconcile with, and he's been wanting you to reconcile and have that conversation for years, but you haven't allowed his presence to overcome that situation? I want to leave you with a few questions. Do I have a story to tell? If so, who knows it, and when do I share it? Do you have a story to tell like this woman had a story to tell? The truth is, a lot of times people don't share their story because they've never been saved from anything, or at least they think that Jesus dying on a cross didn't save them from anything. But when you know who you were without God, when you know who you would be without Christ's sacrifice, you have a story to tell. That single kernel, that's like having a story to tell. You come to church, you hear the word, you read your Bible, you pray. God's Spirit moves, he fills you up, but unless you're willing to go out there and die and sacrifice, nobody knows your story. Your story, you might think, well, my story's not all that amazing. It doesn't have to be amazing. It may apply to someone else. It may be able to help them. Do you have a story to tell? Do I allow God to order my steps and everything? Do I expect rejection or acceptance? And does it even matter? And when I say does it even matter, I mean does acceptance and rejection matter? See, if we're concerned about this life, yeah, rejection matters. You know? If we're concerned about this life, well, no, I don't really want to go too far out my way and talk to this person because they may not want to speak to me. They may not like me. I don't want my family to not want to be close to me if you're worried about this life. Do I expect it? Because if God is ordering my steps, I can expect exactly what Jesus got because I'm right there with him. We're in the same place. Our tough conversations keep me from helping others and even myself. If people were not willing to have a tough talk with me, where would I be? I know where I would be. Somebody has to have a tough conversation with me, feels like every day sometimes. But the fact is, we can't avoid those tough conversations and still be like Christ. It's not compatible. That conversation you want to have with your son or daughter, but you just want them to love you. You just don't want to have to deal with the ugliness of it. See, that's not compatible with Christ. That's the part of Christ that so many of us miss. It's not that you're disrespectful, or that you're mean, or that you're looking to pick a fight. It means I love you enough and I care enough about you that I don't want you to walk away from this well because this could be your opportunity. Well, somebody may have talked, I've talked to them about it in the past. Well, guess what? This isn't the past. This is now. Are you willing to give them the opportunity now? And finally, Am I willing to sacrifice so that God will be known by others? When his presence is clear to me, do I make it clear to others? Our life cannot be consumed with God's presence, and we're not willing to be that kernel. We're not willing to be that kernel that dies and gives up something so that others can be impacted by what God has done for me. The tough conversations have to be had. We think because Jesus' name is plastered on every church and every billboard and all these, what would Jesus do, all these different things out there, we forget people don't know. There's so many people that don't know. And even the ones who think they know, they don't really know. And they're waiting for someone to tell them. They're waiting for someone to engage them and have that conversation. Are you in that place today? Is it time for you to have a tough conversation about your relationship with God and where you stand, how you're living? Maybe you were once committed, but you're not anymore. Maybe you've never had that type of relationship with God to where I know what the truth is. I have a story to tell. If that's you, let your story start here. Let's write new chapters to your story, because it's an opportunity for you to get your life right with God. We want you to come forward. We'll pray for you as a church. We'll teach you what it really means to be a disciple, be a follower of Christ. We'll be with you. We'll walk hand in hand with you. We'll help you with that. If you're maybe feeling, you know what, I do want this, and I know I need this, and I know I need the help of the church, but I'm concerned about what somebody might say or somebody might think. Maybe it's that difficult conversation because I may have to share something I don't want to share. Well, guess what? There's not a single person who can't identify with that woman at the well. The real difference between the woman at the well and everybody else is how the woman at the well responded. She repented, and she went and she told somebody. Please stand as we sing our song of invitation.